2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now let's read together, please. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Father, I do pray that you'd bless us. What a great God, as the song said, what a great God we serve. You're so good to us, and we being so undeserving. Now, Lord, we pray and come to you this morning asking that you would speak to our hearts today. God, work in our lives. Help us to appreciate you more. Help us to be better at what we do in our lives. Be better Christians. And Father, we pray that this would be accomplished by filling our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us this morning. Bless us today. And Father, one last thing. If there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle it today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we have our cell phone warning video message for you again this morning.
Dear to so many of us. Just as the Israelites wandered through the valley in search of bountiful pasture.
Ah! Hey, man. Nah, I can talk.
Cell phone karma.
That we actually have another one, and you guys, don't you know what I'm talking about? There is one more after that. We won't look at it this morning. That's enough. That doesn't scare that out of you. I don't know what will. So just turn them off and make sure your cell phones are turned to vibrate or whatever the case may be. Can I ask you a question this morning? Why should you be encouraged? I don't have an answer. I'm just going to go sit down until you can think of something this morning. Why be encouraged? Do you have a list? Do you have a way to encourage yourself? When you get down, what do you do? Now that's rhetorical. I'm not asking for a direct answer. For some people, they go out and they buy something. Shop till you drop, spend to the end, buy till you die. That kind of stuff. Buying seems to encourage people. I understand why shopping encourages people. Especially you ladies. God bless you. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you can go to the mall and be gone for 2 hours and go home with an 18-cent candle. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. That is not encouraging. Shopping, I would rather have my toenails pulled off with a pair of pliers than go shopping. Buying is not a problem. Now go buy something, get it, get out of there, you're done. Go in there for hours and wander around and save a nickel. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Don't get it, don't see it. Of course, buying something will encourage you at the moment until the bills come in, and then there goes the encouragement. Now, eating something. Now, that's pretty close to home for me. Eating something can be very encouraging, but then, of course, you have to deal with that kind of stuff. So that's a problem. The calories come in and problems are on you, and then you've got real problems. Now, for some of you, you won't like this, but for some of us, killing something is encouraging. That's right. Not a person now. Don't misunderstand. Let me go out and shoot somebody and that encourages you. There are some people who should be shot, and then there are some people who aren't even worth a bullet. But for some people, just go out and drop some innocent doe-eyed creature and watch it roll over and kick his leg while blood bubbles come out of his nose. For some people, that's somewhat encouraging. Others, it's kind of disgusting. Then for some people, too, to encourage themselves, they change something. You know, they go out and get a new hairdo. Or get new hair. I mean, whatever the case may be. It's just according to however you want to look at it, that may be somewhat encouraging to change something. Some people will go quite drastic measures. I mean, they'll move. You need to get another house. You need to get another car. You need to get something else. And they think the change in their life is going to make a difference. Problem with that is moving to another place doesn't change who you are. And the fortunate thing about going somewhere else is you take you with you. So that doesn't help. Now, friend, look at me. We have to learn to be encouraged where we are and in whatever circumstance or condition we're in. We read this 2 Timothy 1, verse 12 here. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Very encouraging. He's in prison. He has in his hand the executioner's date. He does not know, he does not have to wonder if he's going to be executed. He will be executed. He knows that now. Get to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and he'll say, the time of my departure is at hand. I don't know if he was writing that by God's direction as they were coming to execute him, but he was executed right after this. They took the Apostle Paul out and took him to an execution place and they cut his head off. And he knew he was going to die. And said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So in a prison with an execution date, with the certainty of death ahead of him, martyrdom for the cause of Christ, knowing he's going to be in heaven very shortly, he sounded like a very encouraged man in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 12. See, we have to understand something, dear people. We think if my life changes, if my circumstances are different, if the weather's better, if I'm not having these problems, if I'm not going through all of this, if I don't have that, if I got all this, if I have all that, then my life is going to be better. He is going to die and his life is better. He's encouraged here. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul learned to be encouraged in his circumstances, not in spite of them. Say, well, that's the Apostle Paul and I'm not the Apostle Paul. Well, the truth of the matter is what encouraged him here should encourage you and me also. Now, I don't know how you do it, but when I get to discouraging places, by the way, today is going to be pretty much a day of encouragement and discouragement. This morning I'm going to talk to you about why you ought to be encouraged. Tonight, some of you would really do you good in church on Sunday night. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about why we are discouraged. Where does that come from? But this morning, friend, look at me. When I get down and have some battles in my life, when I get somewhat discouraged in my life, I have learned, as David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, I learned to encourage myself. But not with the foolish things that we try. All that temporary stuff just won't. Boy, I'll get a banana split, I'll be happy. Well, you'll be happy for about an hour and a half. Then when the sugar rush is over and the calories hit you and you got furniture disease and your chest falls in your drawers, then you're not going to be happy anymore. So we understand how that works. So that temporary sugar high thing just doesn't last very long. But we know that there is a right way to be encouraged. So here's what I do. And this is not really so much a sermon. It's just a kind of a challenge to you about why you ought to be encouraged. And some of it comes from the passage we read today. You know why I'm encouraged today and why you ought to be encouraged? Because I know that God always has the last word. In this passage, he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. They're going to cut his head off. He's going to die for the cause of Christ. But Paul is not discouraged because even still, man never has the last word. No one ever gets the last word. God always does. And if we understand that, that should encourage us today. See, yeah, but Pastor Johnson, see, here's a situation of my life. And then I guarantee you, if you're under the load today and you're discouraged by your circumstances, your situation, your health, your family, your job, your finances, whatever it is, I guarantee you what's discouraged you is you think that whatever's happened in life, whatever the doctors have said, whatever the lawyers have said, whatever the politicians have said, whatever your friends have said, whatever family has said, whatever someone else has said to you is the last word on this matter. No one has the last word but God. Nobody. Yeah, but what if it is God saying you don't get what you want? I know that God had the last word, because he always does. Folks, look at me. You and I one day are going to stand in front of the God of heaven, and he is going to have the last word. He is going to make the last statement. He is going to pass the last judgment. He is going to bring about the last of everything. He is going to end it all when it's time, and he is going to bring it all to pass, and he is definitely going to have the last word. No human being does. Say, but if you saw my situation, you'd know what they told me. This is the way it's going to be. Because they said so? Or because God says so? God has the last word. God always has the last word. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but to me, that's very encouraging. Because that means it isn't up to them. It's not up to the people around me in my life. It's not up to the situations that I face in my life. It's not up to what's happening in my life. It's not up to the government. It's not up to anybody else. They don't get the last word in this thing. How many more times are we going to see this? Where people stand up, for instance, they stand up against God, speak against God, talk like there is no God, or if they're really foolish, they actually talk like they're going to tell God what he's going to do, and God always wins. Because God always wins. Because God always has the last word. God has the last word. So you see, now I don't have to wonder about things. I don't have to scratch my head and say, well, according to what I'm told, and according to the way things are, and according to what is said. So now look at me. So I don't care what is politically correct. I don't care. I don't care how much society shifts in their morals and their mores. I don't care. It does not discourage me. Here's what happens. I'm disappointed to see a great nation like America fall on its knees to the carnality and fleshliness of our society. That is very disappointing. It is very disappointing to see a nation made great by God has decided by and large as a nation to turn its back on the very God who made them great. Because it hasn't gone well for any nation that's ever done that. Matter of fact, it's never gone well for any nation that ever did that. And it's not going to go well for us either. However, I was reading today and yesterday, as a matter of fact, through the kings and the history of the kings of Israel, how there'd be a good king and then a bad one and then a good king and then a bad one and then a couple of good kings, then another bad or two bad kings. And they'd take the nation up and down, spiritually speaking. And they'd encourage wickedness and carnality. And then another king would come in and bring revival and people would turn to God and all those sorts of things. But you know, it never was really about the leadership as much as it was the God of heaven who extended enough mercy for a nation who turned its back on God to turn around and come back to him. Because God got the last word in that thing too. And finally, when Israel had turned their back completely upon God for the last time in God's program, he cut them off. That will happen to America. There is no divine perpetuity in the Bible for America. God's children are the children of Israel. We have no divine protection here. If my people, which are called by my name, is our only chance now. But the point is, then God will still have the last word in all this. Don't you understand? Whether it's our nation, whether it's our community, our lives, our families, in your heart and in my life, in our own individual lives, God always has the last word. That's encouraging to me. Because that means no matter what I face, I can go to God and I'll say, now, Lord, if this is your will, if this is your way, if this is what you want, I know that God will let me know and help me with this matter. Because God has the last word. You know why we ought to be encouraged? Because, listen now, nothing that's important to me can be touched in this life anyway. He said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What had Paul committed to God? He's in prison. Listen, he'll write and say, I don't have a coat to keep me warm. He'll say, all of Asia's forsaken me, all the churches he'd started. Many of the men he'd worked with and developed as preachers to go on and do the ministry, many of them quit on him at the last minute. He said, there wasn't anybody to stand with me. He said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. So what's he got that's committed to God they can't take away from him? He's in prison. They're going to cut his head off. They couldn't touch his salvation. They couldn't touch the truth of God. They couldn't touch his home in heaven. See, those things were important to Paul. Now, if that's important to you, then nothing in this life can touch what's important to you. See, our salvation is not that big a deal. We got a so-so salvation instead of a so-great salvation. We got a, you know, average every day, okay, I've been saved, born again, going to heaven's kind of salvation. That's all that it. But you know what? They can't take that from me. Cancer can't take that from my body. There is nothing that can be done. If the government tells me I cannot pray, they can't take it away from me. They can't take away what's most important to me in my life. So no matter what happens, you get to a certain age in life and things just go away whether you want them or not. You get up and you can't remember what the text is, or you can't get to the verse, and then you can't read that, and then you kind of stammer and stammer. We're brothers from another mother. That happens. Stuff just goes away. That was you a bit ago, in case you forgot. That stuff happens, okay? The thing I miss the most is my mind. That's what I miss the most. I mean, I hate that. You know, it's true. You stand around thinking about the hereafter. What was the hereafter? And you just stand there in the room. I come out of the door. I went into the store the other day, just a quick minute, bought something, came out, and forgot where I parked my car. I wasn't in there 10 minutes. I mean, it's bad enough when you're in one of these cotton-picking places for an hour, and you come out, and I literally had my keys out, going around pushing the button for the beep, beep, beep to find my car. And I hadn't been in there 10 minutes. Yeah. That's bad. I told my wife, I said, Linda, I love you. Her name's Patty. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Stuff, it's just not there. It goes away. Last time I played basketball with the fellas over here at the gym, that my mind knew what to do. My body could not do that. It wasn't going to work. He didn't take my home from heaven away from me. No one's ever done that. Except to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 9 years old. 51 years ago this year, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And did you know nothing has changed my salvation in 51 years? Nothing. Nothing. And nothing could ever change it, and nothing ever will change it. Because it's the amazing, incredible, unspeakable gift of God, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, given me by faith, by grace through faith. He gave me this amazing gift of salvation, and that can't be taken away, and it can't be touched, and it isn't subject to me and how I live or what I don't do. I'm sealed in that salvation and secure in that salvation and guaranteed by that salvation, by the precious blood of Christ, by the power of God, and by His working and ability. Did you know nothing that you could do? If they told us that you can't have a Bible in your hands anymore, did you know they can't take away what Bible I already know? By the way, they're not getting this one. And they're getting my gun either. But they're not getting this one either. They're not going to take it away from me. The truth of the matter is they can't have this. Because they can't take that away from me. What I know, could you imagine that? You remember back in the late 60s and early 70s when some of our POWs were kept in prison camps in North Vietnam. Some of those men were there for 10 or 12 years. Tortured by the Vietnamese. And then praised by Jane Fonda, which she never did apologize for. I don't care what she said. But anyway, the point is, those men were locked in that prison. They weren't allowed to have a Bible. They weren't allowed to have anything. Did you know many of them got together, and as they could, they tried to bring up memories, verses they remembered, and they were assembled. They could not assemble a whole Bible, but they got quite a bit of book put together. Did you know that just from what they remembered, they were able to encourage themselves through all the suffering and torture that they endured because the Bible that was in their heart could not be taken from them. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. See, they can't take that from me. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and your heart is broken about something and you're really going through a struggle. You don't want to turn over and turn on a light or get up and bother anybody, so what do? You lay there and you talk to the God of heaven and verses of Scripture come to mind. And the Spirit of God nourishes you and He ministers to your heart and your life. And the Spirit itself, speaking with our spirit, with groanings that cannot be uttered. And the Spirit of God ministers to you. You know, nobody can take that away from you. No, you sit there in the doctor's office and he gives you bad news and tells you something's going on. Did you know something? He didn't change anything about what was God's will for your life. If that was the will of God and he allowed that in your life, then it's God's will. Everything's in control. God knows what he's doing. And they can't touch that. They can't take it away from us. See, what's most important to me? I wouldn't be happy if I went home today and my house burned down. Because my golf clubs are in the garage and I got to get them out of there. I mean... That's important. Those clubs are well bent. I've slammed them, thrown them, done all sorts of things with them. I wouldn't be happy if the house burned down. I had nothing but the clothes on my back right now. But I'd still be saved. Yeah, thank both you Methodists. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Maybe that's not that big a priority with you. It's kind of big with me. Maybe it's because I'm closer to heaven now than I've ever been in my entire life. I have no idea. I know that I'd go out and buy a cemetery plot, but I'd probably have to move in the day after I bought it. The truth of the matter is, but see, they can't get that from me. Nothing can happen that's important to what's important to me. Now, what happens if you die, Pastor Johnson? What happens if you come down with a disease? What if you nod off with a heart attack and just drop over like third period French and it's over for you? Whew. Pretty bad prospects, huh? Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I guess I'd be in heaven, wouldn't I? Wow. Guy walked up to a preacher, John R. Rice, many years ago and pulled a pistol out of his jacket and pointed it in his face and said, "I'm sick and tired of you Bible preachers. I'm going to shoot you." And Dr. Rice looked at him and said, "Son, you're not going to scare me with going to heaven." Now, that doesn't mean you should go around and ask people to point guns at you, okay? The point isn't that. Listen to me. The point is this. People look at me. The point is they can't take anything away from us that's important if we have what's important. As important. Some people, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Something happens in their life, their dog gets run over and their life's over. And I'm sorry your dog got run over. I'm sorry about that. I'm really sorry that you thought that was one of your kids. Quit doing that. Would you please? First of all, you got ugly kids. All right, let me just say that. Secondly, it's a dog. It's not one of your kids. Okay? Now don't go get upset if you want to. I'm just trying to help you. You need to change your idea of what a family is. That's a four-legged hairy beast and he's a dog. Okay? Love him, care for him, feed him, and all that good stuff, but it's not one of your kids. It's a dog. Are we clear? Yes, it is too. It's a dog. And we're not even going to touch the cat thing because I don't even want to get all the rest of you upset. But it's just a critter. Okay? They went, they're on, they're gone. Get you another one. Whoop! Keep going. It's okay. Everything will be fine. But you watch these people. Whoop! Their life goes into a tailspin and everything is ruined. Well, then that must have been so important to you. Your life was no good without that critter or the job. You're only happy when you had good health then. So sickness means you don't have a good life. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm encouraged that what's most important to me can't be touched. And if you had salvation like you should, you'd know how important that is. I'm encouraged because God will honor his word. He said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul lived according to the Bible and honored God's word with his life. And he so believed that he knew that what he had done according to this book, God would honor that in his life. Yeah, well, he got his head cut off, Pastor Johnson. Yes, and we're naming our sons Paul today. And you got the gospel in your heart and life because of that one bug-eyed, humpback, bug-eyed Jew preacher who went around the Mediterranean Crescent and won people to Christ and started churches. And his life and his ministry still has an impact 2,000 years later. God honored what Paul did with his life when he honored the Bible. God honors his word. So I know this, when I'm facing something, boy, financial problems. Whew, everybody has their own set of financial problems. Some of us, we don't have enough finances to have a problem with. Some of us, we have too much finances, and that causes us problems. If that's the case, give it here. We'll take care of it for you. And the point is, we have these problems. So we got financial problems. And we think to ourselves, but how did I get all this worked out? Listen to me. You honor God and follow what the Word of God says about what you're supposed to do. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your family, whether it's your job, whatever it is, you do what the Bible says and watch God honor that. Now, he may not do it on your time frame, and he may not do it the way you think. You know, you pray and say, dear God, I need a different job. Then you go in Monday, you get fired. You should have been more specific. Dear God, I need a different job and help me keep the one I have until I get a different job. Otherwise, he just might honor you and just say, you want a different job? Woo, I'll take the one you have. God's smart, folks. See, you have not because you ask not. And you ask not, ask and receive not because you ask amiss, the Bible says. So we need to be specific in our prayers. But I know this, you do what the Bible says, God honors that. That encourages me. I just have to wait for that due season to come in because it will. What encourages me is this. People of faith have made it through what I've gone through and worse. And so will I then. Here it is. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 11:32. What shall I more say of the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David, also of Samuel the prophets. Listen. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, in bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And by faith, Noah built the ark. And by faith, Abraham and Sarah got the son that God promised them. And by faith, God's people have got delivered from Egypt's bondage. And by faith, they saw the Red Sea parted. And by faith, God fed them in the wilderness for 40 years. And by faith, God took care of people. And by faith, they conquered these things. And by faith, they overcame the things they faced in their life. Now, they didn't do it with the electronic means we have today, but I assure you, they had the same kind of battles you and I have. And in some cases, oh, much worse. And somehow, by faith, yes it is, thank you. And somehow, by faith, they made it through. That was an announcement to let me know I'm done. It is almost 12 o'clock. I want that other video up because we got to throw that one out there. That would help people. The truth of the matter, not right now, the truth of the matter is, it's amazing. Listen to me. It's amazing what people have managed to do by faith. But what does that mean? That means they honored God's word. They did what the Bible said, even when it didn't make sense. You facing a Jericho? God knocks those kind of walls down, you know. You facing a Goliath? The Bible says David killed Goliath. You understand? Look at me. Do you understand? By faith, people have done some pretty incredible things, gone through some pretty amazing things in their life, and they came out of it okay. So I'm encouraged. That means I just got to do what God says. I'll be all right. Come on, Pastor. You're oversimplifying things to try to encourage us this morning. Are you picking up on that? Are you getting it? Are you listening to me this morning? That's right. It's that simple. Noah builds an ark on a handful of verses, and when the flood comes, he makes it. Because he did it by faith. He just did what God said, and God blessed that. You understand? They got through this, we'll get through this. Abraham's promised a son, he's 90 years old, and God says, you'll have this son. He laughed, and his wife laughed, and his son's name was Isaac, which means laughter, of course. Then he's 100, and she's 90, and they have their first son. But they got the son. A little late, but okay. They got their son. They got what God said. They got through it. Are we listening? Yeah, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, you get one of those and I do too, due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'm encouraged. Came around for those folks. It will come around for you also. God will do this. Because he doesn't play favorites. So I'm encouraged this morning. I'm encouraged in spite of the circumstances. Matter of fact, sometimes the circumstances encourage me to say, well, that's kind of like what David had to do. I can do that. Abraham had to have great faith. Okay, I can do that. And I'm encouraged this morning because just like Paul, I am persuaded. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Persuaded means, it means convinced, assured, confident, not cocky, confident. About what? Look here. I am persuaded that when it's all over and said and done, God wins, the devil loses, and righteousness rules and reigns. Oh, yeah. I'm persuaded this morning. It's all going to turn out the way God said. I'm persuaded of that. I know it. You know why? Because it's all turned out the way he said up to this point. And the Bible tells, hey, folks, look at me. We have the book. It tells us how it all ends. It's in here. See me? Look here. It's in here. We know how it all ends. The kingdom of this world falls. Satan bows and his knee and confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father, just like everybody else will have to. And when it's all over and said and done, God's win. I'm persuaded. You just give God time. He'll work all this out. I'm persuaded of some things this morning. You know what? I'm persuaded this morning. I have answers when everybody else is still asking questions. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Got all that stuff nailed down. Not because I'm smart, but because this book is very smart. And I've just based what I believe on the Bible. It's just that simple. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, you have to understand what day and age in which we live. Oh, I understand it. And the more I live in this day and age, the more I'm trusting this book right here. I got the answers right here. It's in this book. It covers everything we need to know, everything God asks of us. I'm persuaded that I know what God wants and what God wants me to do, how I should live my life and how I shouldn't, what I ought to do and what I ought not to do. It's all in here. I'm persuaded. While the world's scratching their head and reinventing everything in their lives, I still got the surety of the Word of God. This book stands. Oh, I'm persuaded that the God of this book loves me and cares about me unconditionally, and I am amazed by that. And while others are still seeking, I found it. I found Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, by the grace of God. I found His book is infallible, inspired, and inerrant. It's got everything in there that I need. And I'm not looking anywhere else. It's sad today when people have a problem. They run to a bookstore. I don't even if it's a Christian bookstore. I don't care. And find a book on the topic that they're looking for. And so many of us today, we've got the book on every topic in our hands. And all we got to do is just it's right here. It's in this book. I know it's in here. I have a little cartoon I keep in my office. I got several of them put up on the wall. One of them is a picture of a pastor sitting in his study. Behind him up on the wall is a clock. It shows midnight. On his desk is crumpled up paper piled up on the floor by the trash can overflowing. And it shows him reading a fishing magazine. And it says, and at midnight on Saturday night, Pastor Ramswell gives up in despair. Been there. Take that book. Sunday's coming around and I go, there's a sermon in here somewhere. I know there is. And I can't find it to save my soul. And Pastor Ray, my good preacher friend, he called me this morning, early. As soon as the phone rang, I picked it up. I go, ma'am, I'm glad you called. I got nothing. What do you got? He'll say, well, I called you. I said, well, come on now. Tell you what, let's swap outlines. I said, you might have definitely preached better at yours than will my place. And we kid each other about that kind of stuff. But you know the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of sermons in this book, but the truth of the matter is there's more than just sermons in here. There's everything. There's bread and milk and meat and seeds and water and foundation. There's a compass in this book. There's a great GPS that'll show you where to go and what to do. You hold it up like a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It'll lead you down the road of life and lead you exactly where you're supposed to go. It'll help you make decisions. It'll help you to guide your life. It tells you everything you need to go. I'm persuaded. I have the answer. And not just because I'm persuaded, because it's the answer. And it's the way, and it's the truth, and He's the life. See, it didn't help me this morning, Pastor Johnson. I didn't get encouraged at all this morning. Well, then, my friend, come back tonight, and I'll